Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
Well, in a recent interview, Reggie Bush warned up-and-coming athletes that more money and fame might create more problems. Reggie said, quote, "The one thing I wish I had early in my career is proper financial knowledge. People just assume, well, you got all this money, so you're good. It's actually the opposite. The more money you have, the more danger you're in." Shannon, I want to start with you. How much do these quotes hit home with you?
That's a lot. It happens a lot, Jenny, because a lot of us come from very similar backgrounds. And I'm speaking like Reggie. I'm African-American man, as everybody knows. And we come a lot of times from very impoverished backgrounds. And what we want to do, Skip, is that we want to provide a life that we never would have enjoyed had we not been in this situation. We want to give and to help those people that helped us along the way, be it mom, dad, brother, and sister. So we become very giving, not knowing that we're not going to do this forever, although in the beginning, we think we are. And it's so hard to say no. Mama, you want a house? How big of a house? Dad, you want a car? What type of car? Not knowing that, like, wait a minute. And, you know, you got a homeboy, this and that. But, and Reggie says he's had good people around me. Skip, I've had the same agents. I had one since Marvin Demo since 96. I've been with Jamie Prince since 1999. But here's the trick to that, Skip. My financial advisor can offer me all the advice he wants. Who made that money? Me. So if he says, well, Shannon, I'd advise you not to do that, and I go do it, how is that the financial advisor's fault? All my life, whatever I bought, be it house, car, or whatever investment that I've made, I run it by Marvin. We come out, Skip, at the beginning of the year in January. He says, okay, well, Shannon, what are you thinking? I says, this is what I want to do, yada, yada, yada. He says, well, you can spend this, which is X. Since 1996, Skip, when he told me I could spend X, I've never spent Y and Z. Never. And that is the key to having financial success, is that I don't say, well, Marvin, you know, I really want this. I think this is what. No. Now, Skip, have I made some bad investments? Yes. Before I met Marvin? Yes. And it cost me. It's money that I'm never going to make up. And now I'm more cautious. Yeah, there have been opportunities, Skip, and if I'd have cashed in on it, hell, I could have been on a beach in Costa Rica somewhere. But that's neither here nor there. You got to be smart, and you got to be willing to tell people no, Skip, because for me, when it comes to giving money, and I say give, Skip, you notice I didn't say lend. I say when it comes to giving money, I always look, how much could I give and tolerate it knowing that I'm not going to get it back? And that's how I base everything. If I have to worry about, man, you're not going to be able to pay me back, I'm not going to give it to you. Because I'm only giving money that I know I'm not going to get back. So for my homeboys, yep, when they ask, bucket, bruh, I already know I'm not going to get it back, but I'm cool with it. That's the way you have to look at it, Skip. And he's right. More money, more problems. And it's just not athletes, Skip. Anytime someone thinks you have something of value, be it a professional athlete, you be an entertainer, you could be in the music business, it happens. You're a target, and people want something for nothing. And you just have to be very mindful of that.
So I loved what our man Reggie Bush told Playboy. He laid out a cautionary tale for every young, let's do college football player, who might eventually get paid in college, even before they get paid in the NFL. And Reggie is saying, it's not easy. If you all of a sudden have money and you don't know how to handle money, you're going to be a target, and it's potentially going to be a disaster for you. So, Shannon, over my lengthy career, I've known literally hundreds of NFL players. I've interacted with them. And to all your points, the common thread among all of them is, I wish I'd known how to handle my money early. Most don't. You know how to play football. You knew how to catch football.
Right.
You knew you had high football IQ. You really got the game from the inside out. So you could teach and coach football if need be, But handling money as a financial advisor, well, you don't really know that because you hadn't had any to start with. And it is not simple. It's not simple for any of us. And allow me to tell just a quick story on my little level. I didn't come from your background, but I didn't come from money either. And all of a sudden in 1982 in Dallas, Texas, I found myself in the middle of the last great newspaper war in this country. Dallas Morning News, where I was the columnist, versus Dallas Times Herald. And in 1982, the Times Herald hired me away from the Morning News for what at that time was seen as outrageous, extraordinary money. Money no newspaper columnist had ever been paid. The Wall Street Journal did a front page story about it. And all of a sudden, I'm getting calls from financial advisors in Dallas. And I'm thinking, I guess I need one. And I picked the wrong one. And right away, he convinced me to invest $50,000, which in 1982 was an outrageous sum, in only in Texas, in an oil well. And he said, I'm going to put my money in it, too. I don't know if he did or didn't, because I never saw a penny of my $50,000. It went right down the toilet. And my point was, I'm with you. I always look back at that $50,000 and think, if I had conservatively invested it wisely,
yep.
I don't know. Maybe yep. I'd be so much better off. It wasn't until 1994 that I finally signed on with Beard Harris, which I think is the best financial management firm in this country, and they turned all my finances around to this day, and thank you for doing that. But I hope all of these young football players know enough to know you've got to go to the top, you've got to pay for the best representation. It cannot yep. be fly by night. And in the end, you have to know, like Reggie said, he thought he hired a good team. Well, obviously, they didn't make good decisions, because Reggie wound up playing 11 years in the NFL. And I looked last night, the estimate was he made $63 million. And his quote was, people just assume, well, you got all this money, so you're good. He said, it's actually the opposite, because that money can disappear like that. And especially Reggie now at age 35 has three fairly young kids. Well, it's expensive, as you right. know, to live out here in LA with a wife and three yeah. children. It's tough. Yeah. yeah. So again, yeah. I'm glad we're talking about this. I hope the kids out there are watching and thinking money is really not to be spent as much as it is to be saved initially.
You know, when you skip that, you know, I don't want people to think that you shouldn't enjoy your life, but you need to be cautious. Be cautious with it, because the thing is, Skip, is that when my brother and I, we made them, you know, took care of my grandmother, why get a 10,000, 15,000 square foot home? Who's going to upkeep that? Well, how about get them something that they can upkeep? You buy a yeah, car, right. get something. I bought my mom a car. I said, now, Mom, you're going to have to pay for the upkeep on this. You talking about you want yeah. this. Okay, I can buy you that. But are you going to be able to afford $2,000, $3,500 a year when it comes for maintenance? No, so, okay, because I'm not going to buy you this and maintain this. It's got to be something you can maintain. Skip, it's hard to tell someone no when they've been there for you. But at the end of the day, Skip, and everybody said, man, whatever happened to all that money? I gave it away to you, Jack Legs. I spent so much on you trying to make sure everything was taken care of with you. And now you go, oh, Skip. Look, I'll be the first to admit, Skip, I really never wanted to own a business. I really didn't, because I don't have the time to be there to oversee yeah. it like it's supposed to be done. And then who do you trust? You get a bunch of homeboys, they're going to be handing out liquor to their friends. Hey, come in and get a drink. It's on me. Handing out meat at the back door. True. I know people that run very, yeah. very profitable business. And the thing is, Shannon, it's not an easy proposition. I would advise against it. Well, you very successful. If you tell me I shouldn't do it, that's good enough for me, Skip. But you have to be in a situation to tell people no, and you're going to have to even tell yourself no. Because at some point in time, why do you need five cars? Skip, I'll never forget this, Skip. I was staying in my grandmother's house, Skip. Now, I'm laying up in a back room, and I'm thinking, Skip, I got a Ferrari, a 512, the same one that you saw Michael Jordan have in that documentary. I had that car.
Yeah.
I had an S500 and a Blazer parked in my grandmother's driveway, and I didn't own a house. And I'm thinking, I say, Shannon, You the biggest damn fool in America. You got $500,000 in cars, and you ain't got a place to stay. If you don't get your, you know what? I called my agent. I said, man, find me a house. He said, where you want to live? I said, find me a place in Atlanta. And Skip, I got out my grandmother's house, and I said, I'm done with this. I don't need five cars. I don't need six cars. I said, now, from moving forward, Skip, the only people I'm putting through college are my kids. I ain't putting nobody else's kids through college. You know what I'm talking about, Skip, and I think the viewers at home know what I'm talking about. But I got smart. But I made a lot of mistakes along the way. And, you know, Skip, I was very fortunate that I was able to play long enough to try to get to be financial solvent again. I said, but now at this juncture in my life, nah, I can't afford no mistakes like that because I have less time to recoup that as opposed to when I was 24, 25. Nah, bruh, y'all need to be smart. Sometimes you're going to have to tell mom, you're going to have to tell grandma, you're going to have to tell sister, brother, no. But for me, that was the hardest, hard decision to tell family no, especially Skip, because they've been there. I'm very fortunate. Me and my brother, there's only three of us. My sister, the oldest, we take care of my sister because I believe she had the hardest job, Skip. So my brother and our minds could be at ease. She had to take care of Granny. Because that was the most important thing. That's why we was doing this. So I never worried about, what's going on with Granny? Because I know Libby was going to hold the fort down. And so it made it easier for my brother and I. But you're going to have to say no sometimes. And you're going to have to say no more often than you say yes in order to be 50, 60 years old and be like, man, he played in the NFL. He still look good. He ain't destitute. He ain't broke.
Wow. Good life lessons on Undisputed for all of us, guys. I appreciate the honesty from both Skip and Shannon. That was really interesting. I learned a lot. No mercy. Tom Brady is going to like his new receiving group. According to Bleacher Report, the Buccaneers, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, are the top receiving duo in the NFL. Shannon, how much better will they make Brady than he was last season?
Well, I expect them to help Tom a lot, Skip. They can make, they're big body guys. They can make tough, contested catches where he had small receivers and he had to fit it in. Tom doesn't have to be perfect now, and I think that helps a lot. Skip, as we get older, we need more help. It's just as simple as that. And that doesn't take away from Tom's greatness or what he's accomplished in the past. But as we get older and we are still in sports, we need more help. And so I think these guys will definitely, they will help Tom more than Tom will help them. See, this notion that, you know, for all the other receivers, Tom Brady, people want you to believe that Tom Brady made Randy Moss. Randy Moss was a made man before he set one foot in New England. He was the freak. He was mossing people long before Tom Brady even got into the NFL. You know that. I know that. And we might not ever see a receiver that have 17 touchdown receptions in a rookie season. That's what Randy Moss put up in a rookie season. So I think Godwin and Mike Evans and all these guys, Skip, the tight ends crew with Gronk and Braid and O.J. Howard, they will help huge for Tom. Because Tom now does not have to be perfect. He's not throwing to 5'8", 5'9", 6-foot receivers. Those guys are 6'5", 6'2", 6'6", that can make tough, huge catch radius and will help Tom Brady immensely. This is what Tom needed. Great weather, great receiving core. This should help him a lot.
By the way, nobody ever said that Tom Brady made Randy Moss. Obviously,
yeah, you're
right.
To.
Randy was all the way a made man in Minnesota. He had one bad year where he basically quit on the Oakland Raiders, which is how Bill Belichick was able to steal him. But Randy and Tom made each other. They made each other record setters in 2007.
Correct.
So let's stop it with that notion because nobody started that narrative except you. To make it an anti-Brady narrative, and it's bogus and phony, and you know it. Okay, now, Tom Brady just went from the worst receiving core and a below-average offensive line in New England to an embarrassment of riches in Tampa. Nobody in the history of quarterbacking has spread the wealth better than Tom Brady. Nobody can get more receivers involved in any single one game than Tom Brady has, where he'll get 9 or 10 receivers involved. Now he has 9 or 10 worth involving, worthy of being a few catches, 5, 6, 7 catches in any one game. And he will do just that. So what I loved about the story we're referring to is because the Bucs went 7 and 9 last year, Shannon, I lost touch with just how great Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were and have been. Do you realize, speaking of Randy Moss, only one other receiver in the history of this league in his first 5 years in the league has gone over 1,000 yards receiving. That's Mike Evans. He tied Randy Moss at 5 last year. If he goes to 6 this year, which he's got a good shot at doing now that he's got the GOAT throwing to him, that would make him the all-timer with 6 straight right out of the gate, 1,000-yard receiving seasons. And then if you look at Chris Godwin's numbers, you look hard at his numbers last year, he was the most productive receiver per play, per target in the NFL. I mean, I look at Michael Thomas's numbers. Yeah, he caught 149 balls, but he got 185 thrown to him. Quietly in Tampa, a guy made the Pro Bowl named Chris Godwin, and he caught only 86 balls, but on only 121 targets. So Michael Thomas got 185. Chris Godwin got 64 fewer passes thrown to him, yet he wound up 3rd in the league in yards caught passing, you know, just in overall passing yards, receiving yards, was Chris Godwin with 1,333. That's because he averaged 15.5 a catch to Michael Thomas's 11.6. Wow, that's 4 yards a catch more for the unknown, unsung Chris Godwin in Tampa. So all of a sudden, you got those two guys doing not good things, but great things on the outside. I told you, you've got little Scotty Miller, who's just a rookie out of Bowling Green last year. He caught 13 balls. Watch, that will triple this year because he has supreme short area quickness. He'll be the Edelman Amendola out of the slot. Then you add Gronk to O.J. Howard, who will come out of the doghouse thanks to Tom Brady, and Cameron Brate, who's a great red zone target. And who's the best screen pass thrower in pro football? It's Tom Brady. So all of a sudden, wait a second. Watch Ronald Jones start catching screens. But watch my little big man out of Vanderbilt, Keyshawn Vaughn, stole him in the 3rd round of this draft. Watch Keyshawn Vaughn catch screen passes from Tom Brady. Watch him turn into James White. Weapons everywhere. And watch Tom Brady turn back into Tom Brady. Watch Shannon Sharp every Monday on Undisputed, 9:30 Eastern. Watch the horror on his face as he has to eat a whole nother big plate of fried crow thanks to Tampa Bay Tom Brady.
Can I ask you a question, Skip? When Chris Godwin, who finished 3rd in receiving yards on such few catches, averaged over 13 yards a catch, what does that mean? He's catching a lot of what? In order for him to have that high receiving average, what must Tom Brady be willing to do? Look down the barrel, stand there and take a few of them right to the chops. Is he going to be able to do that? Is he going to be willing? We saw over the last couple of years him starting to flinch more. They mentioned in Pro Football Focus. They mentioned it in the other publications that he was starting to flinch, Skip. You won't mention that. But I think we need to give Jameis more credit. Jameis is a little more athletic than we give him credit for. Now, he reminds you, I think it was perfect situation, Skip, because his offensive coordinator, that's who he reminded me of, Byron Leftwich. They had the same kind of mobility, had kind of like the same extended throwing motion. But Jameis could get out of harm's way and throw the ball over people's head. So we didn't give him nearly enough credit for doing that. The question is, it remains, is Tom Brady willing and able to take a few of those big shots a game? That is the question, Skip. He has the talent that can make those plays, more talent than he's had in a very, very long time. I can see that. But the question is he willing to take those shots to stand in there and to push the ball down the field?
The answer is no, because he will not have to. He will get rid of the ball much quicker than Jameis did. I remind you, Jameis turned the ball over 35 times last year. That's 12 more times than any other quarterback in the league. Tom Brady turned it over a grand total of 9 times for a pretty sorry New England offense featuring no supporting cast and a below average offensive line. 35
That's what they were saying, Skip.
You don't think, wait a
Coach
second.
Belichick said, so, Coach Belichick said, we could have got better play out of my quarterback. We might have had a number one seed. That's what Coach Belichick was thinking. You thinking about his sorry supporting cast. Coach Belichick said, what about my sorry lead actor? Huh? That
really?
Was that what Coach Belichick said. That what he say. I don't know. That what he say, though.
Well, what I say is, did you notice who the Bucs traded up for and nabbed or stole at number 13 in the first round?
Tristan Wirfs
out of Iowa. Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. So he plugs right in at right tackle, and all of a sudden you shore up the offensive line. It's going to be a little better than what he had to work with and hide behind last year in New England. You are in big trouble, my friend.
But, Skip, Skip, that's like, if you buy a big house, if you're not entertaining, if you buy a 30,000 square foot house and you're not entertaining, you lose the value really of the house. Why would somebody, just two people that don't entertain, need a house that size? If Tom Brady is not going to take advantage of what he has with Evans and Godwin, which is can push the ball down the field, that can make tough contested catches down the field, what's the benefit of him dinking and dunking like he did in New England?
When he has it, he will throw it. Just watch and weep.
No mercy.
In Mike Freeman's latest 10-point stance, he predicts that the Packers will utilize Jordan Love as more than just a long-term backup for Aaron Rodgers. He said, quote, it's almost a lock that the Packers will find some role for Love this season. While he won't replace Rodgers, he said that Love could still be a significant part of the offense. So, Shannon, how will Aaron respond to this?
Well, considering that he was very disappointed, you heard his voice, you saw his body language when he was had his he had his voice call, video conference with the media. You could tell he was disappointed, and he voiced that. So I can only imagine. You mean to tell me you're going to take Aaron Rodgers off the field and let Jordan Love take snaps? Skip, I can see if you put him in a role, say like they did for that, what they were going to do, kind of what they're going to do for Jalen Hurts. Or what they did for Lamar Jackson. But Jordan Love has never rushed for 50 yards in a game. Jalen Hurts had 26 of those in college. So I'm trying to figure the role in which you're going to put him out there and just have Aaron Rodgers do what? He's not Taysom Hill, Skip. He just can't just take a direct snap, wildcat, and just run the ball. So you're going to have Aaron Rodgers stand out wide like a wide receiver, snap it to Jordan Love and have him throw a pass? You created a situation in which you didn't need to, and I don't know the direction. Maybe this is their way of saying, Aaron, we're going to move on it sooner rather than later. But I don't see the good that's going to come out of this, and this situation is going to be really – something tells me, Skip, this situation is going to be really, really bad before it's all said and done.
Yep. I so agree with you, and – I'm not the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan, as you know, but I feel for him on this one because, Shannon, I was stunned when I read this. I didn't think Aaron would have to worry about or put up with Jordan Love for maybe 2 years. What? Quote, unquote, almost a lock. They're going to have packages for Jordan Love next year. I've told you from the start, I hate packages for backup quarterbacks to replace starting quarterbacks. I don't think it's fair to either quarterback to do that. Obviously, Lamar Jackson, there's only one of those guys. He averaged about 10 plays a game for Marty Morningweg.
Correct.
As a rookie before he finally replaced Joe Flacco. We could all see that coming. But
right.
That's Lamar Jackson. He ran 4.3 in the 40. To your point, Jordan Love ran 4.74, which is pretty good for 6'4", 224. But still, he's not a gifted runner of the football. He did his year before at Utah State, he scored 7 rushing touchdowns. Last year, new coordinator, new head coach, he scored no rushing touchdowns. So now we're back to, what does that package look like? What does it do to Aaron Rodgers? Is he going to have to come completely out of the game? Is he going to have to trot off the field in full view of the world in Lambeau Field? Man, that's beneath his dignity. He's earned better than that. Or is he going to have to trot out to the flanks and line up as a receiver decoy? That's way beneath his dignity. Hey, if this actually happens, and I respect Mike Freeman, I'm not saying it won't, but if it does, Aaron Rodgers will have every right to throw a post-game public fit about it, and he will have my backing because I have never liked this. I never liked it for Drew Brees. I know that Sean Payton's kind of greasing the skids for Drew to retire. He even blurted out a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago, you know, that this is going to be Drew's last year before, and that was seemed to be news to Drew. But he's been playing Taysom Hill here and there more and more. Obviously, Drew did not play a Drew Brees game against Jenny's Vikings in that playoff game, and Taysom Hill played very well in the brief appearances that he had. So is Taysom Hill's on course to become the next quarterback? Maybe, but I don't even like it for, like last year, I would watch Drew Brees have to trot out to the flank, look around like, I don't know what I'm doing out here. You guys know I'm not going to catch a pass. It's wrong. It's not the way to do it. I feel sorry for Carson Wentz, and I feel sorry for Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts can be a successful starting quarterback in this league. I don't want to see him have to run packages for Carson Wentz. It's hard on both of them. It's unfair to the football team. It's a sheep think league. And just because Lamar did it and was successful at it, now everybody's going to find their Lamar. Well, I don't know. Jordan Love is not Lamar Jackson. And
exactly.
Boy, Aaron Rodgers, this is good. Shannon, this is going to get ugly in Green Bay quickly if, in fact, this starts happening, because Aaron Rodgers should not put up with this.
You're exactly right, Skip. And like I said, if Jordan Love, if we consider Jordan Love, or Jordan Love was thought of as the runner like a Lamar Jackson, like a Taysom Hill or Jalen Hurts, you can see, Skip, they run the ball. They give him some, you know, some wildcats, give him the run, you know, the run pass option, you know, zone read stuff. Okay, but that's not what he is. He's basically a drop back quarterback. So I'm trying to figure the package in which you can benefit. Skip, what is the package that you can put on the field, take Aaron Rodgers off, that would be better than having Aaron Rodgers up under center or taking the shotgun snap as opposed to Jordan Love? So you try to tell me there's a package, there's some packages you can put together that Jordan Love would be better in throwing the football than Aaron Rodgers? Because, Skip, we know Drew Brees is not the runner Taysom Hill. Joe Flacco wasn't the runner that Lamar Jackson was. Okay, we get that. Mm-hmm. But Jordan Love is a drop back quarterback. You create Green Bay, you created this. Hopefully you know what you're doing. But Aaron Rodgers, Skip, and he's a guy, like, Tom Brady did a great job of suppressing this. You knew he was seething after he caught wind and he played it. You know, guys, look, that's Aaron Rodgers is not like that. Aaron Rodgers will tell you he's frustrated. Aaron Rodgers will tell you he's disappointed, and this is some bull jive. And especially he get a couple of glasses of that scotch up in it, Jenny. Some of that doers and old Johnny Walker. Maybe it's that McCallum. He going to come at that press conference?
Yeah.
He going to tell him just what's on his mind, Skip.
He is, Shannon. And I think it was Saturday I was watching NFL Network. They had a documentary on the 1971 Dallas Cowboys, obviously coached by Tom Landry, a season during which Landry actually tried to alternate his quarterbacks every other play between, as you remember, Craig Morton, Roger Staubach. They're actually going out every other play where he's calling the play to the quarterback on the sideline, then he trots in and runs it. It was a disaster. not until he finally went full-time with Roger Staubach did they take off and finally beat the Dolphins and win the Super Bowl. And history started happening after that. But it's the one position in sports, you can't split it. You can't feel strongly both ways. You just can't. You have to go all in for one guy or replace him. Go with the other guy. Yep. It's the only way that position will work.
Skip, it's funny that you say that because in 1992, Dan Reeves, who was on the Cowboy, I don't know if he was still a player or he was in the coaches, but he did the exact same thing with Tommy Maddox and Sean Moore. John got hurt, and for the next 8 games, they were alternating. I was like, I was glad they wasn't sending me because I was forgetting the play, Skip. They sent me in. I was so pumped up. I get to the huddle like, what's the play? I'm like, I forgot. And so Dan was alternating quarterbacks just like you said. Jenny, don't laugh, Jenny. That actually happened a couple of times. Jenny, I forgot. That was a long way to run from the sideline to the middle of the field.
Sorry, my laugh was a little bit too aggressive there. It was just how you said it. You forget the plays. Oh, I love picturing Shannon back in those days. All right, you forgot.
No mercy.
Well, it has been clear that since leaving New England, Tom Brady's persona has changed. He has started to promote his personal products more frequently from his TB12 brand. He made an appearance on the Howard Stern Show and was mic'd up the entire time during the Match charity golf event. We've heard more from Brady than we typically would have under the Bill Belichick regime. So, Skip, I want to ask you about this. How do you explain the new Tom Brady?
Right now, Tom Brady is the equivalent of an 18-year-old kid who finally broke free and left home to go away to college and left behind a horribly strict and verbally abusive father. And now Tom Brady is on extended spring break down in the sunshine in Tampa, living literally right on the beach. And he has gone social media wild. He is flexing his goat oats for the first time, flexing his muscles, sowing his goat oats, if you will. And I am so happy for him because for the first time in 20 years, he is clearly so happy. He's having fun being himself in ways he never could. For 20 years that he lived under the rule of and under the thumb of Coach Troll, Bill Belichick is a dictator. He's a tyrant. He's an ogre. He's very difficult to play for. And Tom Brady allowed him to get away with it for 20 years because Tom Brady swallowed all of it. Tom Brady sacrificed his own goat ego for Belichick's, for the greater good of the team. He was the buffer. He was the one in the locker room who quietly kept telling all the younger players, it's okay, accept it, it's just the way he is. It's going to work out because we're going to pull together and we're going to win another Super Bowl. And in 20 years, they went to 9-6 and should have won a couple of more, if not for Bill Belichick, but I'll save that for another day. Shannon, the first thing Chad Johnson told me when I got to know him so well in 2011, which was his last year in football and his only year at New England, he goes to camp the first day and Bill Belichick has a full team film session in which he pops in the tape of the previous year's finale, which was a loss to the rival Jets, the in-division rival Jets, in a playoff game in Foxborough. They lost 28-21. Brady threw for 300, but didn't play his best game. And Chad was stunned that Belichick was sarcastically ridiculing Brady throughout this full team film session, obviously sending a message, I'm going after all of you, especially that guy. The best guy, nobody escapes my wrath, especially number 12. They go to practice. Chad's still horrified because Belichick is all over Tom Brady. By that point, Brady had won 3 Super Bowls, should have won another one in the first Eli Super Bowl, but Belichick's defense spit the bit once again. And yet, Brady swallowed all this for all those years, and finally, he found his bliss in Tampa. He's playing for maybe as fun a coach to play for as there's ever been, Bruce Arians, a player's coach who really gets it and feels it and knows what it's like to be a player and wants them to have fun playing football. It's the flip side of everything he knew in Tampa. Now he's Tampa Bay. And I'm happy for him because, Shannon, it's going to manifest itself on the field. He's got weapons that Belichick never allowed him to have in New England. He's got firepower. He's got nuclear firepower all around him. And two offensive coaches, remember, the two head coaches of this team, including the advisor, Tom Moore, they got offensive genius. He had to play for a defensive football coach his whole career, Bill Belichick. I am so happy for him, and I'm happy we got to see, as corny and silly and cliched as this side is of him, he's having fun, and so am I watching him.
Skip, if you don't mind me asking, why is it now the method that Michael Jordan used to get the results that he wanted, why is it a problem that Coach Belichick used the method that he used to get same said results? What's the problem?
Well, is Bill Belichick the greatest basketball player ever?
Well, he's the greatest coach ever.
Belichick even play?
He's the greatest coach.
Oh, really?
No. Skip, you've told me for the last 10 days that the ends would always justify the means. Whatever means you need to get, the outcome in the end that wins is okay. It's okay to call someone out of their name. It's okay to fight someone because at the end of the day, you're toughening them up to accomplish the ultimate goal. Now, with Coach Belichick, normally what they say, Skip, if the best player is your hardest worker, everybody else will fall into place. Well, Coach Belichick understood this. If my team see me get on the best player, everybody else will fall in place. And that's okay because the ends justify the means. Skip Bayless, I've heard him say it. Now, Coach Belichick gets labeled. I wrote down what you called him. In this order, you said he was a dictator, you called him a tyrant, you called him a troll. The very thing that you did not say about Michael Jordan, although he did the exact same thing. As a player, he wasn't even a coach. Why the hell I gotta listen to another player? We are the same. You might be better, but you someone pay your salary. Phil Jackson was the coach. At least Bill Belichick says, I'm the coach. Can you imagine another player talking to another player like that? You see, Skip Bayless, I told you this before, and I'll say it again. If we like a player, we'll accept whatever he does. You like Michael Jordan. Many others like Michael Jordan. Coach Belichick did the exact same thing, accomplished the exact same thing, but you don't like him, so you don't like his method, and you call him those names. For me, it's hard for me to see a 43-year-old change. I think what has happened is Tom Brady feels more comfortable and he's offered us a glimpse into his life. Remember, wasn't it just last year, Jenny, we saw him jump off a cliff with his daughter? He was in New England, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't we see him in Monaco? Was that Monaco, Skip, or somewhere that he was on, when he didn't show up? That was Monaco. He was riding a camel in the desert. He did that. Boston. Tom Brady, there's nothing wrong with Tom Brady. He's moved on. And now y'all can't gloat. The media skip like, Tom Brady is not y'all. He belongs to Tampa now. I don't even know what I love more. I don't know if I love more kind of media. They talk, oh, we bean town, we win, yada, yada, yada. And the fans, the Patriots have always won. I've been supporting the Patriots since 1960. Lies. Because Skip Bayless, you've gone to New England when they play football game and they barely had 10,000. They barely had 15,000. Half the stadium was empty. You remember that. I remember it because I played in New England. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to see how loyal that fan base is. That's what we're about to see. But Tom Brady has not changed. All he's done. Skip, a 43-year-old? Who waits till they get 40 to change? This is all who he's always been. Now he's, let me show what old TB12 method. Let me show you what it's all about. Do it, Tom. Do your thing, Tom. I'm all for it. Tommy, Tommy, Tommy.
Back to Michael Jordan. I told you from the start, Michael was more the coach of those Bulls than Phil Jackson was. Michael was simply the greatest player who ever played in any sport. And everybody else on that team knew it. So they realized there was method to his madness. He was so driven, so hell-bent to win championships at any cost that he was going to prey on their weakness and try to turn it into a strength. And he accomplished that in every one of those down-the-line players who were just a bunch of guys. Steve Kerr, Scottie Burrell, Judd Bushler. It's a ream of players who he won with because he drove them to heights they had never even imagined for themselves. They all contributed in little big ways to winning six championships. And
okay.
All he did was say, I'm the greatest ever. Follow me because I'm going to show you in word and deed. I'm going to pick on you, and I'm going to raise you to my level. Then I'm going to go back it up. He won six MVPs in six finals. It's not like he's saying, do as I say, not as I do. He's saying, do as I do, because I do it better than anybody. So, yes.
Let me ask you a
question. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Who, if you don't mind me asking, you say Michael Jordan was the coach. So who was the coach of the Bulls from 1984 to 1990?
Well, they had a couple, as you know.
No. So this is what I'm seeing now. So when they won, Michael Jordan was the coach. When they lost, they had a couple, be it Stan Auerbach, Kevin Lowry, Doug Collins. Oh, so that's how it worked. So Coach Belichick is saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to treat all of you guys the same. I don't care if you won MVPs. I don't care if you won Super Bowls or whatever your title is. If I see a correction need to be made, I'm going to make it, whether you're the quarterback or you're the punter. And that's what he did. He held everybody accountable. So I want to know, Skip, who's the head coach of Washington when Michael Jordan played with the Wizards?
Mm-hmm. Doug Collins, but that's irrelevant. I got to get back to Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was coaching Michael Jordan, but his Michael Jordan realized that the only way it was going to work was for him to act like he was Steve Kerr. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. His father, Tom Brady's father, taught him, Tommy, you have to obey and honor the head coach. And he always did, even though Belichick was a failure at Cleveland. They had losing records four of the 5 years in Cleveland. He got fired. He went 5-11 his first year in New England. It was 0-2 when Tom Brady fell out of the sky into his lap. And history started happening. Michael Jordan, who was Tom Brady, said, you know what? The only way this is going to work for us to stay together, I got to swallow all of his crap. And he did it for 20 years until Belichick turned on him, tried to elevate Jimmy G above him, and then I think tried to sabotage him in the Super Bowl. I've said this 1,000 times on this show. When Brady throws for 505 and scores 33 on Philly, and the backup quarterback for the Eagles puts up 41 on Belichick's defense because Malcolm Butler is in the doghouse for inexplicable reasons, can't play one snap, and he played the most snaps of any defensive player the whole regular season. Explain that, you can't. So Tom Brady knew he was on the way out, and over the last couple of years, he would post taunting videos of him on vacation like doing dangerous activity. I'm going to jump off this cliff with my daughter. I'm going to go up and ski Black Diamond. You know, it's all funny. It's all little shots at Bill Belichick because he was starting to break free.
Skip, you're taking a shot at somebody by putting your own life at risk or putting your child's life
he
at
was
risk.
Kidding.
You want to take a shot at Coach.
He's kidding.
Jumping off a cliff
it's
is not
funny.
Skip, jumping.
He's kidding.
Skip, listen. We just saw Johnny Manziel do a backflip off a cliff.
Yeah.
Was he kidding? He almost broke his neck.
No.
All I'm scared. The thing is, look at what Phil did. Michael did not want the triangle because the Phil's triangle was going to take the ball out of his hand. He acquiesced, won six titles. Tom Brady acquiesced, won six titles. equal. Michael Jordan, Bill Belichick. One is the GOAT, other one is the second GOAT. No mercy.